And this morning I want to look at some stones in the Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we'll start here. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 in verse 1 it says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven." In verse 5, "A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together." Lord, help us this morning. Lord, speak to us through your word. Give us discernment to understand what you're doing in our lives. Lord, to see your hand and to see your glory and your power work through us and in us for your glory. Lord, bless this service this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. There's two main things that you see in the Bible that stones are used for. There's stones of landmark, stones of memorial, and there's stones that are used to build walls and put up barriers, stones of defense. And I want to look at these two kinds of stones because as we're going to look at these this morning, we need some stones of landmark, some stones of memorial in our life. But sometimes we've set up some stones as barriers to defend ourselves, to protect ourselves, and they block us from seeing the glory of God. Let's look in 1 Samuel chapter 4. Look at stones of memorial this morning. And I appreciate Brother Dan Gluszewski. I didn't know we were going to have the Brother Dan and Brother Dan tag team this morning. And some of the things that he was talking about this morning are just going to fit right in with what I was preaching on. And but this story here in 1 Samuel, we're going to read just a bit in 1 Samuel 4, and then we'll go over to chapter 6 and 7. This, in that song that we sang this morning, "Come Thou Fount," the second verse says, "Here I raise my Ebenezer." This is where they got that from. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, in verse 1, "And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek." Now this was not called Ebenezer yet. The writer is writing this later, and he's referring to this place by the name that it had gotten. But at this time, it was just some place. It was a nameless place. It was just the place they ran into each other. "And the Philistines," in verse 2, "put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. And they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And they tried to bring up the ark of the Lord because they thought that that box had some kind of power to save them. But they didn't have the presence of God because they were living in sin. And they'd been living in sin for a very long time. And God's judgment was coming on them. And in verse 10, "The Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten. And they fled every man to his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain." And they're going to spend 20 years in bondage. 20 years without the presence of God. 20 years serving the enemy because of their sin. And this is what Brother Dan was talking about the bad decisions that lead to bad decisions that lead to bad decisions, and before you know it, you're 20 years in bondage serving the enemy because you love sin. But that's not where this story ends. Chapter 6, "And the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months." Chapter 7 and verse 1, "And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord, and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill, and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord." And I want to say this morning, they wanted change in their life, but they didn't want to change. They wanted their circumstances to change, but they weren't willing to be changed. For 20 years, they sat there lamenting and crying and moaning and dreaming, with no action. It's just a dream with no action. And they're lamenting, oh, why don't I have the things I want in my life? Why don't I have a good relationship with the Lord? Why don't I have victory? But they won't repent. They won't take action. And they just sit there in bondage and sorrow. 20 years. And then Samuel says in verse 3, Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Baalim and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. Verse 6, and they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And the Philistines come up against them to battle again. And you know where this place is? This is where they met last time. They come back to where they were 20 years ago. Back to where they went into bondage. Back to where they fell. Back to where they failed. Back to where they made that bad decision. Back to where they left the presence of God. Back to the very same place. But they came back with repentance. They didn't come back saying, we can live in sin and the ark of God will save us. They came back with repentance, seeking the Lord. Not the ark of the Lord, but the Lord himself. With all their heart. And in verse 10, as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went up out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethkar. And Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Hey, remember this day of victory. Remember, we were 20 years in bondage, and the Lord brought us out. We're not going back. Remember the victory. Don't go back to the bad decision. Yeah, the bondage happened. Yeah, the suffering happened. Yeah, the trouble happened. But the victory came. And we place a stone and we don't cross back. There's a place in Romania, very, very strangely unknown to Americans. One of the greatest battles of World War I took place just a few miles from where we're moving. A town called Mureșești. And Romania had entered World War I. Tiny, tiny country at this time. It was about half the size that it is now. Tiny little country, but with a huge army compared to the size of their country. And they entered World War I against Germany. And they began to make great gains. And they swept through Transylvania, which belonged to Hungary at this time. It's Romania now. But they began to sweep through Transylvania, making great gains. But Germany and Bulgaria turned them around. And they pushed them back, and they pushed them back, and they pushed them back, and they took three quarters of the country. And they pushed them all the way back to the mountains, to the last corner of Romania. And the commander of the Romanian army said, we stand here. And there's a stone there today that says, Pe aici nu se trece. Here they will not cross. This line, they don't pass. And for a month, they stood under artillery bombardment with poison gas. Over 110,000 casualties between the two armies. And they stood. It's considered one of the greatest battles of World War I. One of the greatest stands ever made. They said, this line, they don't cross. We stand here. And when they got the victory, they put up a stone. Here, they don't cross. And we need to do that in our life. Listen, we all struggle. We all make bad decisions.
And you may make such a bad decision that you suffer and you struggle and you're in bondage for 20 years. God is not done with you. There is a place of repentance, a place of victory for you. And when you get that victory, set up a stone. Here, we don't cross. We don't retreat here. We set this stone and we remember the victory. And when we're tempted to go back, remember the victory. And we're tempted to surrender, remember the victory. Remember the Lord's deliverance. Remember the power of God that was enough that day. And set up that stone here. This line, we don't cross. Because God gave us the victory. He brought us through. And we're going to remember. And we're going to hold the line of we're not going back into bondage. We're not going back into sin. We're not going back into surrender to the enemy. God brought us out. And we're not going back. And we set up a memorial. And every one of us needs to have that in our life. This is not a memorial that old paths can set up. This is a memorial that you set up in your heart. The church can't set up a memorial point for you, a landmark for you in your life that you won't cross. You do that. Between you and the Lord in your life. I remember the day. And I put a stone there. And I'm not going back. That's for every one of us. Every one of us. To have that landmark. That memorial stone that we set up. And we remember. Remember! The Lord delivered us. The Lord brought us through. Amen? Let's turn to John chapter 11. And we're going to look at a stone that needed to be taken away. John chapter 11. Some stones we need to set up. Some stones need to remain. The place of victory needs to be remembered. Some stones need to be taken away. And these are the stones that we set up in our heart to protect ourselves from being vulnerable, from being hurt, from the uncomfortable things, from the things that would cost us. Stones that we set up to protect us. But they stop us from seeing the glory of God in our life. In John chapter 11, we know this story. Lazarus is sick. Lazarus is sick. And everybody pretty much has been sick at one point or another. Most of the time you get better. But this was not going to be that time for Lazarus. And Lazarus was sick. And in verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." And that's a really interesting thing. This sickness is not unto death. But Lazarus died. How can the sickness be not unto death if Lazarus is going to die of it? I tell you, this sickness was to go through death and come out victorious. The purpose was not for Lazarus to die, but for Lazarus to be resurrected. And he had to go through death first. He had to go through that valley. They had to go through that suffering to come out victorious. And this is uncomfortable. I tell you, I don't like this. We ask the Lord to deliver us from trouble. Deliver us from suffering. Deliver us from poverty. Deliver us from sickness. But sometimes, He wants to deliver us through sickness. And through poverty. And through suffering. Out the other side to victory. And listen, just current events. This COVID thing is a big deal. We know people that have died from COVID. But if you're a believer, it's not unto death. It's through death to victory. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? In Christ, we are victorious, even if we got to go through death first." We are victorious. This sickness was unto resurrection. Yeah, it was going to pass through death, but it was unto resurrection.
And so, in verse 14, Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad. No, that's not what he said. He said, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Jesus says, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for the miracle I'm going to do. I am glad that you are going to see something amazing in your life. I am glad that I get to show you the resurrection power. Lazarus has got to die first. Sorry about that. And Jesus wept. But he said, I am glad for your sakes that ye might believe. I want to show you something amazing, but it comes on the other side of something unpleasant. It comes on the other side of the uncomfortable and the difficult and the inconvenient and the painful. It comes on the other side. And I'm glad for the other side. I'm glad for the resurrection. I'm not glad for the death. I'm glad for the resurrection. And he comes down here in verse 20. That's a long passage here, and there's so much here. But in verse 20, Martha comes out to meet Jesus. And in verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, she makes this accusation, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. As if Jesus failed. As if he let her down because he didn't work the way that she wanted. He didn't deliver her from sorrow. He waited to deliver her through sorrow. And she's hurting, and she's angry, and she doesn't know what to do. And she says, but I know, and she doesn't really believe this. She says, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. She's hinting that Jesus could raise up Lazarus. But she doesn't believe it for a minute because of the conversation that follows here. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. This is great news. And Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She says, my faith is off there somewhere. I don't know about today. I know about tomorrow, but I don't know about today. Today, this hurts. Today, I don't understand. Today, I do not have the power for this. And Jesus says, I do. Verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And her answer is, Yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ. Is that what he said? He said, I am the resurrection. Thy brother shall rise again. I am the resurrection. Today. Do you believe the power of God is ready to work in your life today? Do you believe God wants to work in your impossible situation? Do you believe that he wants to be your power when you have none? And Martha says, I believe in Jesus. And they come all the way down here in verse 36. And there's this whole crowd of unbelievers watching. You know there's a crowd of unbelievers watching your life? Watching the things that we go through. Watching our faith. Doubting God. In verse 36, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Doesn't God work for you? Why are you suffering? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why are the righteous suffering? For the glory of God. They're going through the valley all the way to victory. And the unbelievers are looking, saying, but why the valley?
What is this?
See, this miracle is not just for Mary and Martha and for Lazarus. It's for the Jews watching. The things that we go through and the victories that God works in our life are not just for us. It's for those watching. It's for a testimony to the world of the power and the grace of God.
And they come down here to the grave in verse 38.
It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it.
Now, what was that stone for? Was Lazarus trying to get out?
No, Lazarus was stinky. That stone kept them from having to smell Lazarus. That's what Martha said. I'm just telling you, Martha said,
Jesus said, take ye away the stone, and Martha saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days.
That stone was saving Mary and Martha from being uncomfortable, from being endangered. I mean, dead bodies are dangerous. It's unhealthy to be around death. It's just a fact. It's uncomfortable. Nobody likes it. And it is dangerous to you. I'm not denying that. And Martha says, Lord, are you sure? We put up this to protect us. This is something that can hurt us. This is something that can cost us. This is something painful for us. And we put up that stone so we don't get hurt anymore. And the Lord says, take it away.
Verse 40, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?
And in Luke 17, we don't need to turn there, but in Luke 17, Jesus says, if your brother trespass against you, and he repent, or you rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. 7 times a day, if he repents, forgive him. And I know some people say you should forgive without asking for repentance. I'm just saying that's not the example the Lord gives. Just because Jesus died on the cross does not mean everybody is saved. They got to come to him. It's offered. They got to repent. If the world does not turn to Christ, they're not saved. There's no forgiveness until repentance. That's the example Jesus gives. But he says, be ready. 7 times in a day, the same brother, the same trespass. That's some faith. And that's where the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. And he says, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this sycamore tree, be removed. And in Matthew 17, he says, you could say to this mountain, be removed. Faith to forgive. Faith to forgive. And Jesus says, you could do anything with faith to forgive. Again, and again, and again. You know that when Christ died on the cross, he knew you'd mess it up? Have you ever made a mistake since you've been saved? He was planning to forgive you again. And he offered himself, planning to forgive you again, and again, and again. And you're going to mess it up, and have to repent again, and he's going to forgive you again. Because Christ had that much faith. And he turns to us and says, have faith to forgive. Have faith to show mercy. Have faith to love. Have faith to offer yourself. But Lord, I might get hurt.
You might.
Lord, that is going to cost me.
Yeah, it might.
Lord, if I go to that country, they're going to chop off my head.
They might.
Have faith. Take away the stone. Now, I'm not calling anybody to a certain job for the Lord, but he is. The Lord calls every one of us to something. Maybe not to be a missionary, maybe not to be a pastor. You know, we promote that, and we should. It's right. But if there was 100 pastors in this church, I mean, there wouldn't be too many people out there. Right?
I mean, normally you got one, maybe two pastors in the church, and mostly it's the congregation. That's just a fact.
But that doesn't mean every one of us doesn't have a job. It doesn't mean every one of us is not a servant of God. It doesn't mean every one of us doesn't have some place in our heart that we need to be willing to go again and again and again, to be vulnerable again and again and again, to give again and again, to forgive again and again. He says, if you could forgive your wife, you could move mountains. If you could forgive your husband again, you could just tell that tree to just get out of your yard. I don't like that tree. Get out of my yard. If you had enough faith to forgive the brethren, knowing they're going to mess up again. If you had that kind of faith, you'd be unstoppable. So this morning, I want to ask, have we forgotten the place of victory? Have we forgotten where the Lord delivered us? And maybe we're falling back into some bad habits, falling back into some bad decisions, falling back with some bad acquaintances, going down the wrong way, forgetting the Lord brought us out. Forgetting the victory, getting discouraged, getting depressed, ready to quit. Because we've forgotten the victory. Look back to Ebenezer. Here, the Lord helped us. This day, after 20 years of bondage, God thundered and brought us out. And here, we don't go back. We don't go back. But maybe there's a place where we've set up a stone we weren't supposed to. And the Lord wants to work a miracle in your life. He wants to show you something you can't imagine. And we've set up a stone saying, nope, not going there. Not forgiven again. I'm not showing mercy again. That is a country I'm never visiting in my life. That is a people I will never tell the gospel. You know, this is what Romanians say about the gypsies. We've had people who are supposed to be mature Christians tell us they're corrupt in their blood and there's no cure. Oh, wait a minute. They have a different gospel? A different Savior? I mean, salvation is for all. Christ died for all. It's the gypsies too. But many, many Romanians have set up a stone there. Nope. Anything but those people. And we do that in our heart. Maybe not with a nationality, maybe with a family member. That person did me wrong too many times. I'm not lending him a hammer because it's never coming back. So buy another one. You may lose your hammer. It may be gone forever. He's going to steal your weed eater again. And you're going to have to buy another one. Maybe they're waiting to see the forgiveness. Maybe that mercy that you show is going to make the difference. And God is going to do a work in their life. I don't do miracles. You don't do miracles. God does miracles. But we set up stones and we don't get to see those things. Because there's a line I will not cross for the Lord. We need some lines we will not cross for sin. We need some memorials we will not cross back into bondage and defeat. But there shouldn't be any stones over here where I'm going forward for the Lord. And there's no border, there's no boundary, there's no place in my heart that I won't go there and I won't do that and I wouldn't give that for God. And Jesus comes to every one of us and says, I am the resurrection and the life. Believest thou this? Not do you believe in Jesus. That was what she answered. I believe in Jesus. Well, that's good. But do you believe in the resurrection power in your impossible situation? And that was the point where he said, take away the stone.
Because you ain't going to take away that stone unless you expect Lazarus to come out. You take away that stone because you expect the resurrection. You expect the miracle when you take away that stone. You expect God to work. We got to be willing to be hurt again. We got to be willing to pay the price again if we're going to see the work of God. And so on the one side, let's set up a memorial. Set up a pillar. Peach, no se trate. Here, they will not cross. We don't go back into bondage. We don't go back into defeat. We don't go back into sin. We don't go back into discouragement. We don't go back into despair. But here, we don't set up a stone saying, I won't go forward. Don't set up a stone, I won't go forward. Set up a stone, I won't go back. Don't set up a stone saying, I will not go forward. Amen? Let's pray.